I'm going to talk about surrender this morning. Struggles are used by God to lead us to surrender to the end of ourselves, which leads us straight into the Lord so that we can become the godly women of influence that He has planned for us from the moment of conception. We all are women of influence where we live. Now, I would like to talk about what surrender looks like, why it's so important, and how to do it. The other day, I had to get my windshield fixed before that car was completely totaled. Good thing I got the windshield fixed. Anyway, I rushed home after work, and the people who fix your windshield will do it on your driveway. And this big black thing hit my windshield and just cracked it down the middle, so it wasn't like I could wait. It was just a preview of what was coming. And so I rushed in, changed my clothes, ran out there to talk to the guys. I had an opportunity to share the Lord. I'm thinking, man, this is cool. But the whole time I felt like, gosh, I feel so tight, you know? And so I walked in to my 14-year-old and I go, man, that was so weird. I mean, I got to talk to the Lord about the, you know, to these guys who are fixing the window. Oh, so tight. And she goes, oh, Mom, your shirt's on backwards. Oh, man, do we need to surrender? So their guys are thinking, yeah, I want Jesus. Yeah, I need him for everything. Getting dressed. Anyway. So surrender means to give up, hand over, lay down, relinquish, to yield or give oneself up into the power, control, or possession of another. And in our case, that's God. The definition of surrender is to agree to stop fighting or hiding or resisting or avoiding because you know that you will not succeed on your own. And actually, that's humility. One of the main scriptures for this weekend is Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And that word, be still, in context, means to cease. Cease striving, cease resisting, cease fighting and avoiding. Surrender and acknowledge who God is, the great I am. Allow Him to be that in our lives. By ceasing in ourselves, we give place or room to the Holy Spirit to manifest His resurrection life in us. Just because we're a warm body doesn't mean we're alive. It doesn't. Only God gives us life. There are basically three types of surrender. Surrender in response to a struggle. Absolute surrender to your all in all. And on surrender. I want to talk about surrender in response to a struggle first. So I want to take us to Psalm 40:1-3. In that scripture, we read, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my foot on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see the Lord and put their trust in Him. I'm going to reread this with some of the specific meanings of the words because this scripture is the complete story of surrender out of a struggle. So if we look at it, it says, I waited patiently. Now in the Greek, that means to bind together or to expect. I waited patiently for the Lord. I put all my expectations in only God. And the Lord turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, which is a horrible, tumultuous, destructive pit. Those are the words of slimy. You don't want to leave that slimy trail that we talked about last night. And he said, he'd set our foot on a rock. Well, set is that same word, abide, where we are to abide in him. And that strong rock, of course, is Jesus Christ, that firm foundation. He put his new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. This is adoration, to adore our Lord, our beloved. And to speak it out loud, never hold back. And many will see. And that means many will enjoy and experience and take heed and revere the Lord and put their trust, their confidence, and hope in Him. All that happens in just three short verses. That's amazing. The complete story of surrender, the why, the how, and the outcome of God's plan of surrender. The why, that slimy pit, those struggles that we have, in hope that we will be driven into the arms of Jesus at the end of ourselves. Why, God? Why? We're always saying that. We have our answer every time. Just quickly wave the flag, I surrender. Go for it. The how, to wait patiently, to put all our expectations in Him, not in ourselves, not in the people around us, but to switch off of all those things and put it into Christ, so that we have this mind melt with Christ. Paul the Apostle always talked about that he wanted to have the mind of Christ, and that means co-perception with Christ. So if I have co-perception with Christ during my struggle, I can better understand along the way why we're doing this, God. And the outcome, that's the sweet part of surrender. Remember in our video, she said it's kind of bittersweet. Well, yeah, there's a lot of bittersweet to surrender because there's a lot that we want to hang on to and not give up. But the sweet part of surrender is when we do land on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ and we experience the power and the stability and the health that we can have in Christ. And we experience that rejoicing, that true adoration that just bubbles out from our gut when we let it happen, when we let go. And then there's that ripple effect of grace where others around us, just because we're being with Him, then experience that same adoration. What a connection it makes, and what life-saving we can do as women of influence if we just surrender. I love how well God understands His children. He knows we may need to be almost completely submerged in mud and mire before we will give up our control. Sometimes that's why we're in the struggles. He's submerging us to bring us to the end of ourselves, to bring us to Him. Because our God is working 24/7 in all things. Sharon mentioned, was God busy? And we're learning, yeah, He's busy with each one of us. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, our circumstance, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So I have to make a willful decision. Am I willing to go all the way through this struggle, even if it never ends till the day I die, for the unseen glory, for the eternal? Do I trust Him enough? Does He know better? That's the question. God is doing a work, and we can trust Him in that. We must fix our eyes on Him. All our expectations must be on Him. There are times, especially I like to call it forced surrender, we're forced to surrender our car. But I'm thinking of those really tough ones, like Linda mentioned, her cat dying. Or we do have the death of a loved one. Or we have a serious illness that came up too. We have a job loss. We lose our house. Those things that they're biggies and we don't always see them coming. They aren't always our fault. A lot of stuff just happens. And even if they are our fault, we have a gracious God, and He's going to even walk us through that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But what I want to say is there is forced surrender in our lives, and we may never understand it. So it is imperative that we know how to function in that, and that is to cling to our God. Not thinking that, oh, if I do this, He'll tell me down the road what it is, because I hear that a lot. No, He may never. But cling to Him because He gives me the strength and the power. And He makes purpose in it. Because, like our friend Jeannie, when I go visit her at her house, she says amazing things that I'm learning from. The other day she said, you know, Sharon, I thought I'd be praying more intercessory during this time because I'm at home more. But the Lord said to me, oh, we're praying more. I'm just doing more of the talking. Isn't that beautiful? In this struggle, there are beautiful lessons. And she is giving those out to us. If we do not surrender ourselves or our control, then we do not gain that firm foundation that the Lord wants to give to us. We remain stuck in that circus in our head, and it's not a pretty place. And we keep trying to reason through it all and gain more strength and make our abilities better and know how. But in reality, we're just bullheadedly sticking to our own agenda. And that's ugly. God can't do the work he wants to do. We will miss out on that exhilarating sense of God carrying us if we keep grabbing it back and trying to do it ourselves. We will miss out on the power and the love and the sound mind that he has for us. I need that sound mind. Secondly, we do not end up praising, but complaining. Where were you, God? How come you didn't show up? And all the while, he was there, reaching his hand down in the muck and mire, but we were too busy trying to figure it out ourselves to grab on. And lastly, and most unfortunately, is the fact that God is not glorified. If we're working in our own ability all the time, where's the witness in that? Oh, she is a smart cookie. That is so pale and lacking in comparison to being able to share, this is what God does in a life, in a cracked pot like me. We won't be that witness because the evidence we're giving them is, this is how smart I am, this is what I do, instead of the invitation to the glorification of God Almighty. That's a crime. Not too long ago, I went through an arid desert time. Do you ever have those? Flat line of faith. I love those. And I would show up for quiet time. This is awesome, God. And I just was to the point of going through the motions, faithfully going through the motions. At some point, you need to change your approach. God, where are you? I got my coffee. I'm here. And God, in his grace, after like 3 weeks of this, in his beautiful majesty, said nothing. I don't like these times. And so I went through a little longer of showing up, just showing up. And finally, God showed up and said nothing. What is this? What is this? Finally, I was just like, God, I can't do this. I can't just show up. What is this? And I realized that when I was showing up, I had emotional expectations. Do you ever have those? Like, I want to walk out feeling like, yeah. And I was walking out going, what was that? But what I learned was that God shows up. Ooh, that's my watch that my sister gave me. Sorry.
Did you break it?
But what I learned was that I needed to come in with no expectation. I needed to remember that the Holy Spirit, it's his agenda, not mine. And if it meant I was going to sit there till I was 85 with no response, then that's what I was going to do. And when I made that willful decision, guess who showed up? And I was, you know, pretty much like, okay, all right, God. And I just went to bed. And I, you know, was examining my heart for the day. Okay, Lord, I want to give you this, give you that. And bam, he showed up. And this praise just came out. I could not even sleep. My eyes were wide open. You know how David danced in his ephod while I was dancing in my jammies? And everybody else in the house was asleep. And I was thinking, thank you, God. And the desert was washed away by that overflow. Now, I'm not going to get to have that jammy dance with him every night, am I? And I shouldn't count on that every night. But how glorious of him how precious of him to just say, you know what? You do this because you're mine. You do this until I decide. Because he really is the master. And we don't like to look at it that way. We like the warm fuzzies of you're my friend and we're buddies. But he's the master. He's God Almighty. And there's a sense of reverence that we need to have, girls. And I'm talking to myself. He absolutely resuscitated me in that time. And what was beautiful about that was after the fact, I felt like he just gave me open eyes to this season that I'm in. And I'm on the dark side, I say, because I'm over 50 now, but it's not dark. It's not dark. I think that much of it is still to come. And he renewed my hope in that. That I need to surrender my ideas about being on the dark side, right? And in confessing that I have nothing, God, he just came in like a flood. So what we learn is we hand him the mess. We tell him, I got nothing. And he comes in like a flood. We don't need to come in there like the Wonder Woman spiritual whatever we think we need to be. We just need to come in broken as we are. Simple Sharon, here I am. It's interesting, Brenda Wagner wrote this book called The Velveteen Woman. And it says, the human spirit, often stubborn and wily, that's not me, but you guys maybe. The human spirit is often stubborn and wily, and each woman is likely to face at least one uniquely designed crisis before discovering God's love is based solely on his nature and not her track record. When I came to Christ, the most freeing thing in the whole wide world for me was that I did not have to perform for his love. His love had been waiting for me. And I don't have to perform any day. I have to obey, but I don't have to perform to be accepted. And that is so freeing. It made me a new human being. Because I'm loved and my hair isn't fixed right. And I'm loved when I accidentally yell at my kids. I'm loved. Now, we need to talk about absolute surrender, girls. And we cannot absolutely surrender if we do not trust. And sometimes we have trust issues and don't even know it. So let's look at that. It's a little self-examination like we do on our pillows at night. Do I hesitate to surrender my will to God? What am I afraid of? Ask yourself these questions over the weekend and on your life to keep it clean. Do I doubt you, God? Do I believe you can handle my life as well as I can? Because I do a pretty darn good job wearing my shirt backwards. Do I know you or do I just know about you? Do I experience your love or do I guard against it? Because I'm just not quite sure. Do I doubt you have my best in mind or that you truly have good intentions toward me? Do I think you, God, will reject me if I show you my true inner feelings and failings? Do I judge you, God, by the failings of others or by my circumstance? Do I feel like you have failed me because you haven't answered my prayers like I wanted you to? Am I expecting you, God, to be my blue genie blessing giver? Do I resent that you remain all-knowing and holy instead? We need to deal with our trust issues before God, or surrender won't happen. Sometimes we just don't trust him, and sometimes we just want the control. You're not taking this area, because I got it. Or I've already screwed it up, so forget it, God, too late. Why do we do that? That's so dumb. We are comfortable, though, in our own patterns, and we are comfortable being independent and thinking for ourselves, and that is a lie from the get-go in the garden, right? So we need to let God have control, and if we do that, we know that we may have to unstuff those things that we've stuffed and not avoid the things that we've been avoiding and not remain in denial. Own your stuff. Surrender is scary to us because we view God suspiciously as a taker rather than a giver. Shame on us. take my job away. He might make me move. He might take that person I love. He might take my cigarettes. Whatever. He might take my potato chips. The guy gave his only son to be beaten and die on a cross and rise again. Why would we not trust him? He's given everything to us already, and we don't want to give him our job. Oh, man. His love is so grand, and that is a lie, and it needs to be killed today because our God is good, and he is all-knowing. So when you start to hold back, just stop yourself in your tracks and say, no, I'll say yes to anything. I'll say yes to everything because I know you have my back. So when I think about surrender, I think it's confess, release, receive. Because a lot of times when we get into messes, we want to point the fingers out. Just sit down and say, God, I don't even know what all I've done in this one. But can we just deal with it? Like, I just confess my part in this and cleanse me. You know how little kids, they come in from the sandbox and they just go, like, take care of it. I made this big old mess. That's what God wants us to do. Just take care of it. We've made this big old mess. We just want, God just comes in, he says, I want your tears, I want your laughter, I want your fears, your dreams, your broken dreams, your lost hopes, your disappointments, your shame, and all your joy as well. I want it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You don't need to hide anything. He wants our heart of hearts. And the cool thing is he is so absolutely in love with us that he sees the girl that he's making. Isn't that beautiful? And that's how he wants us to see each other. He sees the girl that he's making, and we see the girl that he's making. When I pray with someone, or when I'm talking with someone, you're looking right in their eyes. You see that depth. It's a beautiful thing. So in 1 John 4, 18-19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Matthew Henry says, no slavish fear or mistrust can be where complete love reigns. If we give full access to God, to our hearts, his completing perfect love will drive our doubts and our fears away. We don't even have to do that part. Surrender comes as a byproduct of our trust in him. So let's deal with our trust issues. Andrew Murray says, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. I find that quite comforting because sometimes I feel like my life is a great burden and I need help. The condition to obtaining God's full blessing is absolute surrender to him. More reason to surrender. Spiritually speaking, in surrender we gain God's full blessing, and that is freedom. Freedom from all our baggage, freedom from all our self stuff. So the more we surrender, the more freedom we have in Christ, and that is oneness with him. I think full surrender is accomplished over time. We have those moments of complete release. But I think full surrender happens over time. We realize our need for God, and we allow ourselves to be needy with God. As we grow in our trust in God, we can experience his presence, and that just grows. We want more and more of him. And as we grow in that, we fall more and more in love with him, and so our desire for God grows more and more, and less for the things of this world, and less for the things that we keep trying to stuff the hole in our hearts with. I want to tell you, I want to tell you about somebody super special to me, and my sister. It's my mama. She used to always worry about what was the legacy she was going to leave. Would we do holidays like she used to do them? she could only know the legacy that she left. I can't see my notes. But I know this story, so I'll just tell you. In the last 3 years of my mom's life, that's when I really saw her give over her life completely. I mean, she knew Jesus for a long time, and certainly she was growing, and she was in Bible studies and all that. But in the last 3 years, I just saw the woman that God, oh, thank you, the woman that God meant to make just blossom. And it was that absolute surrender example. And it didn't come easy. Her surrender was born out of hurt and many struggles and loss and her great need for him. And she finally allowed herself to be needy before God. And she lived for 20 years as a widow, and she missed my dad the whole time. But in those years, I watched her shift her expectations from self and then to family and then finally to God in that absolute surrender. And it was a process, and so I learned from her that we have to go through that process sometimes with everything we're going to surrender, right? And she came to realize that he was the one who cared for her in a way that none of us could. As a family, we couldn't care for her in the same way that he did because he understood her deepest hurts and fears and filled that void in a way that we couldn't. And he had the power to release her from her painful past, and he could offer her hope in a future that we couldn't. And she came to love him so much. He was her husband, and it just changed her completely. She was just this peaceful little thing. So I saw this solid confidence just grow in her, and she used to have a lot of self-consciousness, but she became so confident. And she used to be anxious and fretful, and she really embodied peace. The TV used to really nut her up because, you know, technology and stuff, and it just didn't nut her up the same way it used to, and just stressful situations weren't quite the same. She developed a servant heart. She was always a hard worker, but it softened her, and she was able to have that confidence and interaction with people because she was whole and complete in him. It changed her. There was a forgiveness in her heart that she was able to exude from past hurts that she had held on to for a really long time. These are all fruits of surrender that I saw in her, made me want to surrender. She was able to get rid of those regrets. And she began to devour the Word of God, not just go to her Bible studies, but she devoured the Word of God. She thirsted after righteousness. It was beautiful. She was still feisty, though, you know. And she would share those, you know, scriptures and things that she was learning about. And she had developed such a love relationship with them that one day she said to me, I was visiting her at her house, she goes, I just sense him with me in the house all the time. I have found my place. I don't want to leave you girls, but soon I hope to go home. And so she got to go home, and the Lord answered her prayers. But before she did, that little stinker, she had set up her whole memorial service. I mean, she didn't want one, but she set up her funeral stuff, all that. And she had this plaque made. And her name was Gloria, and the plaque said, Gloria, Child of God. Now, she was a great wife and a great mom and great in her community. She was the Girl Scout leader, all that stuff. But she had come to that place of, I am my beloved, and he is mine. What a great picture. What a great legacy. I want that for every one of us. Every one of us. He is my beloved, and he wants to be your beloved. And there's never ending in that love relationship. Isn't that beautiful? It only grows and gets closer and closer because this life is just in preparation for eternity. Sometimes we get so consumed with this life and the issues, we forget that this one is just a spit in the bucket. And surrender is an absolute key issue to that love relationship. Surrendering all does not come easy, but there is nothing more beautiful, more peaceful than a fully surrendered saint. In Isaiah, There are two scriptures that the Lord gave me from about my mama. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So even if you're on the dark side, that's what it's about. And the other one was Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servant. He welcomes him home. It's a homecoming. And I want it to be a beautiful homecoming when we transition, each one of us. We're just going home. Let's take a look at Jesus now in Matthew 26, 36 through 35. We're going to see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Just checking. "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away for a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, so he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, the same thing. When he returns, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" But he says, "Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." So Christ fully surrendered to the will of God. He's the Son of God, and he goes away three times to pray, "Will you take this cup from me?" So we need to look at that and go, we're going to have times like that. It's not going to be easy. And we're going to have to relinquish whatever idea it was we had in our head about our lives. If Christ had chosen not to go to the cross, boy, would we be in a pickle, right? It's the same in our lives, though. The decisions we make, whether we choose the Lord's will or ours, will affect not only us and our relationship with Christ, but everybody around us. I want to be a blessing. I want my life to be something that people will say, "I think Jesus was in that girl." Jesus had to fall down on his face and pray before the Father. Choose to do that. Don't run. Choose to go ahead and just let it out. Choose to be weak, because in our weakness, he is strong. In John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And yet, surrendering didn't come easy for him in that moment. We are called to really heavy-duty things in our lives. But God will provide in those things. And whatever you are called to, you are not alone. He does not leave you. And there are reasons beyond what we'll ever know as to why we go through those. But you can know they are to make you more the woman you were meant to be, and to create a closer and more meaningful relationship with Christ as a result. Andrew Murray says, "And when you come and bring your absolute surrender, it may, as far as your feelings and consciousness go, be an act of fighting and trembling, a work of imperfection. You may doubt and hesitate and wonder, is it absolute?" Been there? I know I have. Am I enough? Did I do it right? But listen, it's an act of faith. And as believers, we must look away from ourselves and be occupied with God. That's the answer in that. We're just trembling kids, and we have failures and we have doubts, but that's when God can move. That's when God can take possession, full possession of us. It's not about our feelings. It's about the realization of how faithful our God is. And we know in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. It doesn't say our name in there. It says God's. He will do the work. There is power enough in God to help the weakest of us, and grace enough to help any of us in our unworthiness. Now I want to talk about on and on surrender. We have done surrender as a result of struggles. We have done surrendering all. But to keep your surrendering all healthy and maintained, we must do on and on surrender. And that on and on surrender reminds me very much of plucking our eyebrows. So, as you can see, eyebrows require continual attention. Some more than others. The brow is made up of many hairs, and not all grow in alignment or in good form. Some just grow out of control. So that's my Sharon parable of surrendering on and on. There is a need to closely examine our brows with magnifying mirrors and tweezers. Close examination allows us to address and pluck before a weed patch or a unibrow occurs. So the sooner we surrender, the better off we are. Unfortunately, plucking does produce pain. Weeding out all those stray hairs can be a painful process. There's also shaping, clipping, threading, waxing. All those things take time and attention. It is a task, though, that we must keep up or it gets ugly. Surrender is much like that. There is an on and on continuing attention that needs to be focused on the mining of our hearts and minds. We must pluck. Keeping our hearts surrendered before the Lord takes examination and discipline and time. And sometimes it's painful. It's painful extracting those things that we're white-knuckling. And it takes a lot of time, daily, sometimes minute by minute for me. But the outcome is worth it. A surrendered life is a peaceful life. And, you know, we talk about the strifes and the trials that we go through. If we don't surrender, we're just adding on to that. If we quickly surrender, we will have more peace. Of course, we will still have trials, but we won't be battling ourselves at the same time. Lord, help us. We don't need that, too. You know, there have been times when, and I don't have much eyebrow, but they just grow kind of strangely. It's part of the dark side, I think. But sometimes my daughters will lovingly point out a wayward hair. I love my daughters. And I'm actually very thankful that they have my back because it saves me a lot of embarrassment. But my point is that sometimes we need help to surrender. The Lord often provides someone who listens to him and loves us to come alongside and point those things out that we may need to surrender. They'll have godly input. They'll have encouragement and counsel. And we need to have ears to hear and go, oh yeah, could you pluck that one out for me? Help me out with that. Our part is that we humbly receive and follow through. So it's beautiful, isn't it, that we're not alone in the surrendering process. We have sisters to help us. But we must remain humble. We must remain open. And most of all, remain in touch by reading the Word and knowing what His truth is. So what is surrender? We're going to recap here. It's courageously trusting God enough to give up our agendas, our loved ones, into his loving, creative hands, giving over our wills to his will. And why do we surrender? Because it brings us closer to God and places us in his perfect will. Don't you love that sweet spot of Jesus when you know you're right where you're supposed to be? There's nothing like it. Because also, if we don't surrender, we will never accomplish why we were put here. I don't want to miss that. Our life mission as a child of God, to be holy, to have him as our beloved, to be a blessing full of power from the Holy Spirit to others, whether it's the person in the grocery line or your spouse or your best friend. I don't want to miss that. How to surrender? Get real with God. Just get real with God. We don't have to be church ladies. Admit that we cannot do life alone. Invite God into every situation, every fear, every doubt, every worry, and trust. Let God prove just how gracious, merciful and powerful he is inside your life, inside you. Don't just go look at everybody else. Oh, she's got it going on. That's you. That's you. Got it going on. There is no safer place than in the perfect will of God. Surrender is freedom. I've been praying for months for each one of you that the Lord would break down the strongholds, anything that holds us back or blinds us from giving every corner of our hearts, every ounce of our being to him, to cause us to die to self and let go of all our old patterns, all our excuses, all our blaming, all our thought processes, all our creepy habits, and help us be courageous Christians who embrace God's love, embrace his lordship in our lives, and enable us to absolutely adore him. He wants to be loved back. Let's surrender our lives. Let's pray. God, I love you. And I love how you love us. Help us not to be unibrow daughters. Teach us, God, surrender. And Holy Spirit, remind us where we're being about, all about us. I just pray for your power and your love to just flood us now. Make us all yours. We want to belong to you. In Christ's name, amen.